Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Everlasting, while earthly ages fade. In mercy, our God, your kingdom reigns. Lord, over everything, you are near.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking in the book of Acts chapter 20. We're picking it up in verse 24 where Paul makes a very profound statement.
It's definitely, you know, he's kind of giving a... he's been talking to the people, telling them he's headed back to Jerusalem, and he's got an interesting mission in life, and God has made it clear to him what he needs to do.
And here in verse 24, he says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." That's a marvelous statement, and I wonder how many of us could actually live up to it.
You know, I think about Paul's writings. I think about the verse in Philippians, I believe it is, where he says, you know, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, you know, my life here on earth, it's for him, like the first part of it, he was a murderer, and, you know, he was out persecuting the church, and then he gets saved, radically saved, and he starts sharing the gospel, and he says, you know, "For me to live, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life." And then he says, "If I die, it's even better, because I get to be with him." So, you know, not many people have that mindset.
No, it's a task. He calls it a race and a task. And I suppose if you ran in a Boston Marathon, or if you're a miler, you ran, you'd want to finish the race, no matter what. That's the kind of the key thing. Just finish the race. And God gave him a task to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so this is his task, his goal. He says, "I'm just going to do whatever it happens to, whatever needs to be done to finish it." And then he goes on, he says, "Now I know that none of you among you or among whom I gave, whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again." This guy's something else.
You know, he knows that wherever he goes, he's gotten beaten, he's gotten bruised, he's gotten battered, he's got thrown in jail, hardships are facing, and, you know, that's been his past. And guess what? His future, same kind of future. He knows if when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to get arrested and he's going to go to Rome, because God clearly told him, "I need you to speak before Nero."
Well, he's writing this book and he's just saying, "Hey, you're not going to see me again."
Right.
I mean, I know my future. I know what's being held before me. I know that persecution is coming for me. And he says, "You're probably never going to see me again." Yeah. He says, "Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Now, he probably made that statement because the church was probably accusing him of stoning Stephen, more than likely.
You know what? He had that over his head, and he talks about it. He says, "You know, I was a murderer." He says, I have done that. But listen, even murderers can be forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Their sins can be washed away. Pick the worst sin, pick the worst person you could think of, and the blood of Jesus Christ can make them new.
Well, more than likely, probably the word that got out was that Paul was the one who actually threw the stones and killed Stephen, but all he was doing was holding his coat.
Holding the coats.
But so he was saying, "I really didn't do this. I know I stirred up people to do it, but I didn't do it myself, and I just want you to know that." And I'm sure that he's trying to appeal to them to, "Hey, let's get this right. I've been preaching this good news for a reason."
Yeah, it's an amazing, for him to be able to say that, you know, once again, shows the work that God's done in his life. But like you said, he also has to clear up some things with some people, because, you know, even Christians like to gossip and tell stories that aren't true.
No, so, really?
Well, some churches, some Christians.
Yeah, you're not like that, though. No. You listeners, you listen to the radio and you take whatever Pastor Tim and I say to heart, and you say, "I'll never do that. Right. Never again, Lord, honestly. And I won't gossip. I won't say anything about my neighbors. I'll be very quiet. When my wife says this about me, I'll be still."
There you go.
Yeah, you're perfect. There's no flies on you today.
There you go.
"For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." This is what Paul is saying. And those of you that have read this book of Acts, you know that he confronted people, whether it was the Christians that he confronted, but now he's confronting those who don't repent and believe. He's preaching the full gospel that he has understood when he got knocked off the donkey and all of a sudden he met Christ. And he saw that Jesus is real and what he was speaking about is real. And so I haven't shied away from telling you the truth.
No. And it's the will of God that none should perish, but all come to a saving knowledge. And so his goal is to preach that word and for the will of God to be accomplished, to see as many people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as possible.
Yeah. And then he goes on and he speaks to those who are overwatchers, those who are shepherds. And he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So he not only speaks to the general parishioner, but right. he's speaking to the leaders. He's speaking to those that are actually going to be taking this message, planting churches, moving forward. And he tells them, watch out over yourselves, but also watch out over those who the Holy Spirit has made you a shepherd.
Because leaders need to watch themselves because yes. we're not perfect.
Nope.
We need the help
exactly.
of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, to guide and direct us. We need to guard against things in our life that can lead us astray. And then we're also given that responsibility as overseers, as shepherds, to feed the sheep, to guard them, and to keep them moving in the right direction toward the Lord Jesus Christ, to see them mature. And, you know, I think back to, you know, one of Paul's other statements. He says, you know, God's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that the church can mature and grow up in Christ.
And he's not blind to what happens with people when they're led astray, because right. the next verse he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare
the flock. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll yeah. not spare the flock. And the wolves are pretty tough animals when you look at them. They hunt in packs,
yep.
they come in, and they really prey on the weak sheep,
yeah.
and they divide them. The first thing they do is try to divide them, so they got the weak sheep all by himself, and then they kind of level them.
Yeah, it's a horrific thing. I mean, you watch it on the Discovery channels and all that.
They're terrible.
How they do that, and unfortunately, it's a vivid picture of what can
yeah.
happen in a church as well.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of times it's there's the blessing there. Sometimes you may not like the church you're in. You say, oh, I'm going to go to another church. Mm. You know, you're not going to find a perfect church.
No.
It's just not going to happen. So what you have to do is you have to look, does the church really look out after your soul? Are they really looking out after your soul? Maybe they're not doing exactly what you feel like you want,
yeah.
but are they watching out for you? And that is, there's a wonderful comfort and a wonderful safety in a flock that is sticking together and not being separated. One leaving here, one
yeah.
leaving there, one going this way, one going that way. If you stick together, after a period of time, you learn to trust people.
Yeah, and you grow in relationship with one another. You get to know their names, you get to know their families, and you get to be brothers and sisters in Christ, which is one of the things that we're called to do.
Yeah, and one of the fabulous ministries that you have really overseen and began here at Bethany was the Champions of Honor. And
yeah.
those men, they stick together like glue.
They do. It's an amazing group of guys that have grown over a number of years, from the first guys to do it now to where we have scores of gentlemen that are involved in this, because we want to see the men in the church mature and grow in their knowledge and in their faith in Jesus Christ and grow together as brothers and let people know, hey, let guys know the life you live, you're not doing it on your own, and the struggles you're facing, hey, the guy sitting two pews away from you, he's going through the same stuff. So it's great to be able to connect with guys like that.
Yeah, and when I watch them, oftentimes somebody will have a difficulty and the other guy just comes right up beside
yeah.
him and helps them to stand
yeah.
and keeps them accountable to each other and
yeah.
to the Lord. And so it's a wonderful thing when you can just get beyond your own self and to see that you're united together with Christ Jesus and a bunch of brothers and love you in the Lord.
I love to see it when Sunday mornings, we pray for people, we anoint people with oil for healing.
Up come the men.
And up come the men to stand with another guy. And,
yeah.
you know, it's two, three, four guys sometimes. One guy will come up and then all of a sudden, there'll be a
Boom.
Group around him, and it's those Champions of Honor guys.
Yeah, it's true. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. I guess I've seen this way too often and been in the ministry for a while now, and I see this happen where someone comes up with some kind of a teaching that really tickles the ears of somebody else, and then they usually attack solid teaching and saying, well, they need to learn something different.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that person, because he is wanting to be recognized as somebody who has something new, something exciting, and they kind of fall away and they draw these people, and all of a sudden they're making them disciples. Jesus said something about the Pharisees making people disciples themselves of hell or whatever
right.
it was.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable how people can take the Bible, twist it,
yeah,
and
yeah.
use just enough of it to come up, like you said, with something that distorts the truth, and people will follow.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who said it, but somebody says truth only travels on the feet of falsity or whatever it is. Mm. It's something like that. Yeah, there's got to be a little bit of falsity in there for truth to travel on. Yeah. Something like that. It probably wasn't quite right, but
it's close
enough. He says, be on your guard. He says, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night, day with tears.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Apostle Paul crying and trying to warn them with tears, but apparently he must have.
Yeah, 3 years. You know, I think he was still in Ephesus is where we're talking about. He's talking to the people from Ephesus. He's getting ready to get on a ship heading to Jerusalem. And he said, you know, my life among you. Paul kept referring back to that with his, you know, the churches that he was at. And he lived an exemplary life among them in that, you know, he said, hey, I was like a mother among you. I was like a father among you. At times I needed to discipline you, I disciplined you. And at other times, I cried real tears over you because of the love that God gave me for you in my heart.
And often wondered, because he spent time with him and he had been received such revelation from the Lord, that there wasn't times when he was speaking that he was reminded by the Holy Spirit of what happened to Stephen and how he was part of persecuting the church, and those tears probably were in his heart because of what he did, and he had repentance in his heart, and he remembered how easy it was for him to be deceived and how easy it is for people to be deceived and walk away, and so he had this compassion with tears, even though he was a very strong, forward preaching machine. He still had this compassion in his heart because of what he went through.
Yeah, I know there's a verse that people love to quote about Paul saying, you know, forget what's behind and strive toward what is ahead.
Yeah,
and
hard to do.
It's hard to do, and at times you need to remember where you've come from, so that God can continue to work through you.
Yeah, and I'm sure that when they had to leave a city and they sent him over the wall in a basket, he wasn't feeling real victorious at that moment either.
Not at that moment.
And it says, now I commit to you and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So he's committing them to God and to the word of his grace. Now, that's pretty powerful because he recognizes that the word of God is where the power is.
Yeah.
It's his word.
Without that foundation, you've got nothing. When the storms of life come, if you're not standing on the word of God, you're going to fall.
Yeah, and God's word, he speaks it into existence. Yeah. He speaks the word into existence. So his word can bring a security and a word of hope in your life, and that's what he's standing upon.
Amen.
He says, also he goes on in verse number 33, and we're in chapter 20. If you just open your Bibles, Acts 20, verse 33, I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Now, in those particular days, there were probably a lot of people that coveted silver, coveted gold, coveted clothing. They were out to make a dollar. They probably went around from town to town doing something, whether it's selling idols or doing some kind of a trickery thing or a magician of some kind. I don't know. They're all there trying to make a buck. That's really was. He says, I'm not here to make a buck. That's not what I was doing.
No, and my heart has been right. My heart has not, you know, I don't need any of that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it's not about material things for him.
And you wonder, he probably had heard the story about Jesus turning over the money changers' tables.
Yep.
So he probably understood that the Pharisees oftentimes did look for this. And so he says, no, that's not what I'm here for.
No.
He says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. So he says, I did the work. I was working.
Yeah.
And he was a bivocational minister. He actually was working with his hands.
He said, hey, I could take, you know, what's due me as an apostle, as one that has that title, but he said, I've worked hard among you day and night so that you could have a model of how you need to live. That Christianity is not just about, okay, we'll sell everything we have, we'll give it up and we'll wait for Jesus to return. No, you got to continue to work, because if you don't work, you don't eat.
That's it.
So,
and not only that, I would imagine he, in other places, he tried to encourage people to support the people that were actually working with the word and preaching the word, because he himself had been through hardships and he never depended upon this. He trusted in his own work, but he recognized that he could probably have done a lot more.
Yeah.
If most... he didn't have to work.
Yeah, you bet.
I mean, by physical work. Yeah. I mean, he was still working and preaching the gospel.
Right.
He could have got a lot more done if he didn't have to support himself. And fortunately, he wasn't married and he didn't have any children, because right. otherwise he probably could not have done what he had done.
No, absolutely not. So
because he lived hand to mouth.
Right. But he modeled it for him. Yeah.
He modeled it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on, and everything I did show you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it's more blessed to give than receive. That's a hard one for people to understand, more blessed to give than to receive, because most people think it's more blessed to receive than to give.
It's fun to receive.
Yeah.
It's fun when you get to open the presents and you know you get something new and shiny and that's a blessing. But he's saying, listen, it's a blessing when you give it away too.
Yeah. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die, something like that.
Yeah. Before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Yeah.
Yeah. Or may I hit the number. I can't remember how that one goes. But the truth is, Paul was an example to those that he ministered to and revealed that you need to work hard for the gospel. You need to put your heart and soul in it. Remember that all that I went through, I did it for you. I didn't do it for anything else. It was nothing. It was just for you, because I did it because of what Jesus did for me.
Yeah. And this is kind of an appropriate passage. I'm going to take a little liberty, Pastor. This is your last radio broadcast with us.
Oh,
you're retiring.
You.
And so, you know, just like Paul is heading into a new adventure, you're heading into a new adventure.
I
so
am.
What a joy it's been to do the radio broadcast with you for 15, 16 years. So going to miss it. So
these are actually we enjoyed doing these because we simply took you through the Bible and whatever the Holy Spirit laid on our hearts to share with you,
Amen.
We shared it with you. And we are glad for those of you that listen, because it always surprises me that when I meet somebody, whether it was on a golf course, whether it was in a rug store, somebody recognized my voice, they repeat your voice, and then they said, somehow I know you, and then we got to talking, and they say, I listen to you and Pastor Tim all the time, and I'm always amazed
That's
at how
great.
Many people listen.
It's great.
So it'll be missed, but I assure you, Pastor Tim will be here, and you will enjoy reading along with him. So you stay tuned and keep the radio tuned in. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.